with confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Judges chapter 9 tells a long, twisted, and sad story of ruin and rebellion. It's one of the more fascinating stories in all the Word of God, certainly in the book of Judges. The 57 verses that comprise Judges chapter 9 tell one long-running story. It's all really one extended incident, so I have been hesitant to divide this chapter into multiple sermons, but the depth of information that is here warrants at least a few Bible lessons. So after we studied in our last installment, verses 1 through 6, we read of the murder of Abimelech's brothers. Abimelech was installed as the king over the city of Shechem. But according to this little parable, you might even call it a fable offered by Jotham. I remind you, Jotham was the one son of Gideon, called in this text Jerubbaal, who escaped the wrath of Abimelech. And according to this little fable offered by Jotham, Abimelech would be best known as a bramble bush king. Now, the message that I bring tonight was originally intended to be delivered last Sunday evening at our graduate recognition service, so I think you'll hear a good bit of application that may sound like it's for graduating high school seniors, but I want to caution you to not tune out, but tune in, because there is a warning here for each of God's children. It is a warning about us giving our attention and our affection and our allegiance to lesser things, of bowing our heart and bending our knee to serve modern day Abimelechs and seeking to live our lives in the shade of the bramble. Are there three simple truths that I want you to consider with me this evening? First, we look at the inferior purpose of the bramble. To fully understand Jotham's fable and the broader text here in Judges 9, you have to know a little bit about what a bramble bush is. For far from being a tree, it's more of a bush. It's really a prickly shrub that for most of us would resemble a blackberry vine. Now, the word that is translated in most of your Bibles as the word bramble literally means to pierce or to fasten. The idea of something like a safety pin or a corsage pin that pierces in the process of fastening one thing to another. Now, both of these renderings, piercing and fastening, denote something that is sharp and painful and penetrating, something that has a hook in it, something that will pierce you through with many griefs and fasten itself to you and fasten you to itself. Hardly the kind of bush to which you would first turn for comfort or protection, much less for shade. Now, why is the bramble bush of an inferior purpose? Two simple things. First of all, it is unfit for its reign. Now, remember the historical flow of this text of Scripture. Abimelech, the son of Gideon and Gideon's concubine, rises to power by killing 69 of his 70 brothers. And the men in the sin-sick city of Shechem, they install him as king out in the oak grove by the pillar in Shechem. On the heels of that, I mean, the inauguration ceremony has scarcely ended when a cry comes out from the nearby Mount of Gerizim. It's Jotham, that one surviving escapee, and he has a little story to tell. It's the story of a forest full of trees that is looking for a king, and the forest of trees goes out to all of its cousins in the timber world, and they call out to the olive tree, "Come, rule over us." The olive tree says no. They call out to the fig tree, "We want the fig tree to be the king over all of the trees," and the fig tree says no. They turn then to the sweetness of the vineyard. Would perhaps a grapevine come and rule over the kingdom of the trees? And the grapevine says no. And finally, they turn to a prickly, shrubby bramble bush. "We would have you to reign over us." And the bramble bush takes them up on their offer. But when you look at the inferior purpose of the bramble bush, you see it is unfit to reign as king over the trees. The bramble bush, if you know anything of horticulture, is technically from the rose family. And do you know what you can build out of a rose bush and its branches? Nothing. There is, in fact, a very expensive, exotic form of lumber that is called rosewood, and it is used, among other things, to provide the backing and sometimes other parts of making guitars and expensive trinkets. But rosewood gets its name from the fact that when that timber is cut, it smells like roses. But rosewood does not come from a rose bush. Nothing good can be built from a rose bush, and nothing good can be built from a bramble bush. It is unfit to serve as the king over the trees. Now, to be clear, and you must follow this fable, this parable, this analogy, there's nothing inherently wrong with the bramble bush. Properly trained and cared for, kept in check and under control, the bramble bush can provide the blessing of sweet fruit. And the brambleberry is a wonderful part of many delicious recipes. But when used for something for which it was never intended, it can become a major problem. The problem is, as one commentator notes, that brambles make good fuel but poor kings. They burn better than they reign. This bramble bush had no business serving as the king of the trees. And similarly, Abimelech was unfit for his position as the king over the Shechemites. For as the son of a concubine, he would never have been in line to follow his father Gideon. That's if we assume that a Gideonite dynasty had been established among the people of God. In fact, three different times in the opening verses of chapter 9, the narrator makes it clear that the Shechemites made Abimelech the king for one simple reason. He was their relative. Listen carefully and we'll make application. They wanted Abimelech to be their king because of how he was related to them, not how he was related to the people of God. And that's what sin always offers. It wishes to sit on the throne of your life, not based on how it can help you be better related to God, but based on what it can supposedly do for you. And oftentimes the problem is not with that specific thing. The problem is the position and the emphasis and the exaltation we give to that thing or to that person. Nothing wrong with the bramble bush if you're going to eat from it. But if you want to sit up under its shade and have it rule over you as king, you'll find it is unfit for such a position. Now, many commentators have suggested that the purpose of Jotham's little parable of the trees is to show the foolishness of these trees to desire a ruler. But I believe the purpose is to show how foolish they were for wanting a bramble bush to be their king. Del Ralph Davis comments here that the main concerns, his word, mama, are the stupidity of the trees and the uselessness of the bramble. The fable does not stress the worthlessness of kingship, but the worthlessness of Abimelech. I say again, the problem was not with the thing itself, but the position that they had given it in their life. Ma'am, the problem is not that you want a husband. The problem may be that that one is nowhere near God's perfect will for your life. The problem may not be that, sir, that you want a wife. The problem may be that she's not God's will for your life. Students, the problem is not that you are lonely and you want someone to be your friend. The problem comes when you're willing to lower your standard in order to have somebody to hang out with. The problem is the position that this bramble bush has been given in the hearts and lives of the people of God. By application, the problem is not that you enjoy music, it's that you're listening to music that doesn't honor God. The problem is not that you enjoy movies or entertainment, but you may have given it an elevated place in your life that it does not deserve. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. The issue is not that you enjoy athletics or hunting or hobbies kept in its proper place for the purpose for which God intended it. It may be a great blessing to you, but when you elevate it to a place in your life where it rules over you, you're going to find big, big problems. This is the inferior purpose of this bramble. It was unfit to be in that position of royalty, rulership, and reign. But note with me also, it is inferior because it was unkind in its reputation. For this, we just need to go back in our mind to the opening 6 verses of this chapter. Abimelech took the 70 pieces of silver from the temple of the Baal and used them to hire a bunch of worthless fellows to go with him back to his daddy's hometown of the Abiezrites. And there on one stone, he killed 69 of his own kin. That is one reason why he is considered to be a bramble. For like its blackberry cousin, the bramble promises sweet fruit, but it delivers a handful of thorns and thistles. For you see, unless you have it in the hands of a very skilled professional cultivator, the bramble bush is much like the kudzu of our day. You've driven through the North Georgia mountains and seen all the kudzu that somebody at one time thought was a good idea to bring to this state. But before long, it begins to take over and consume everything in its way. And you smirk and you snicker when I mention the consuming nature of the kudzu. But brambles have the very same poor reputation. And they had a bad reputation in the days of the judges. And that's why Jotham uses the bramble bush to be the symbol of the foolishness of God's people. The bramble bush had a bad reputation. Can we be honest? Abimelech had a bad reputation. He had just killed 69 of his own brothers, a ruthless man. A bloodthirsty man whose lust for blood and power would rival Hitler or Stalin or Mussolini or Capone. This afternoon, I did a little research on one of the more infamous serial killers in modern American history. It may interest you to know that Ted Bundy, you remember Ted Bundy, he was sentenced to death for a confirmed 20 deaths. He confessed to as many as 30. They believe that he committed perhaps as many as 36 more. If you add the 30 that he confessed and the 36 for which he is suspected, that still doesn't add up to the number of people that Abimelech killed in one single day. And yet the people of his city say, that's the kind of man we want as our king. Even though he was unkind in his reputation. Now, friend, the bramble bushes of this world have similarly awful reputations, and amazingly, there are still people who want to live in the supposed shade of the bramble. Listen, beloved, alcohol use has never gone well for anybody. If you've got any sense, it's got a bad reputation, and it's not going to give you any more comfort or shade than it's ever given anybody else. Drug use has never gone well for anybody. You'll not be the exception. The hospitals and the jails and the cemeteries are lined with the sad stories of people who got tangled up in something that if they'd have just thought for a moment, it's got a bad enough reputation. I don't need to install it or inaugurate it as the king over my life. Sexual immorality has never gone well for anybody. And sadly, but amazingly, many people want the bramble bush to have an improper place of lordship in their life. And again, the problem with some of the things that I've just mentioned is not with those things, but it's the way that we would use them and the place that we give them in our lives. For example, from a chemical perspective, alcohol products have a good use for floor cleaner and paint thinner. But they're problematic as a beverage. Prescription drugs can be a wonderful gift from God, or they can be a snare from the pits of hell. That man that has moved in next to you, ma'am, He may, in fact, be a wonderful neighbor, but if you're already married to somebody else, he'll make a lousy lover in the sight of God. The inferior purpose of the bramble. Note with me in verse 15 what I've labeled the inaccurate promises by the bramble. There's some false advertising going on here, because listen to how the bramble responds in verse 15. Remember, the trees come and they ask, "Would you be our king?" The bramble says to the trees, "If in truth you're anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from me, from the bramble, and consume the cedars of Lebanon." What an inaccurate set of promises. Now, my son and I, a couple of weeks ago, we went down to Jacksonville to look at a truck that I had found on Facebook Marketplace. It looked great online. In person, I think they should be arrested for false advertising. I mean, they used more filters taking pictures of that truck than a 50-year-old woman posting selfies on Instagram. And I'm married to a 50-year-old woman, by the way. Well, when I look at a bramble bush, when I study the life of Abimelech, when I look in this 15th verse at the promises made by this bramble bush and by all the bramble bushes of the world, I feel they should be charged with false advertising. For the bramble king in verse 15 makes a couple of promises that are as fraudulent as a Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. One is an invitation and the other a very thinly veiled threat. And both of them are as fake as a $3 Gucci handbag. Note in verse 15 first, the claim that it made. Verse 15, "Come, take refuge in my shade." Now, if you'll notice the background that I'm using tonight for our graphics on the screen, that is actually a picture off the internet of a bramble bush. The bramble bush has no shade to offer except in the inaccurate promises of its mouth. I mean, literally, it has no shade to offer. The idea that you're going to rest and take refuge in the shade of a bramble bush, well, let me give you an example. Imagine that it's a hot day in the middle of July in South Georgia. It's 100 degrees in the shade with humidity that would choke a mule. And you say, "I'm so hot, I'm going to go out there in the parking lot and lay down in the shade and rest in the shade of one of these light poles." That's what it would be like to come and find rest and refuge in the shade of the bramble bush. I'm saying tonight, the bogus claim of this bramble bush is not one bit better than the idea that you can find shade in the shadow of a light pole. It's the promised shade from the bramble bush of sin. And I see it and I hear it every single day. Friend, the world will promise you stuff that the world can't deliver because the world doesn't even have it to deliver. Listen to me, young people. Ungodly friends cannot really offer you friendship because they don't know what real friendship is. An adulterer cannot offer you a godly home. He doesn't know how to have one himself. A gossip cannot offer you a confidential friend. They don't have any confidence. Lean in and close and listen. The world cannot give you real peace despite all of its offers. It doesn't have any real peace to give. The world can't give you real joy. It doesn't have any joy to give. The world cannot give you real fulfillment. It has no fulfillment to give. It's the empty, inaccurate, fraudulent invitation of the bramble bush to come and rest in its shade, the claim that it made. Note with me also the curse it mentioned. He says, "If you're serious about making me your king, then come and rest in my shade. But if not," he says, "I hope that fire will come out of me and consume every single one of the cedars of Lebanon." That's just a poetic reference to these tall, strapping, proud elders of the city of Shechem. The bramble bush responds to its coronation with a deceptive invitation and a very pointed threat. Now, I need you to listen very carefully because I'm about to describe the culture in which we live. I'm talking about the left-leaning, neo-Marxist, woke, progressive culture that is infecting the United States of America and has not left our own American evangelicalism untouched or unscathed. Here's the threat of the bramble bush nestled together with its promise. You will come and you will rest in my shade. You will come and you will yield to me. You will come and you will bow down to me, and you will embrace the lie that I've got some shade to offer you, or I'm just going to slap burn you to the ground. For our young people, it may sound like sleep with me, or I'll break up with you. You're either going to do what I want you to do, or I'm going to burn you to the ground. Listen to me, young lady or young man. If you've got somebody you're dating and they tell you you've got to give in sexually, or they're going to dump you, beat them to the punch and say, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. No more. No more. How about this? Sleep with me, or I'll fire you. Time out on the field. I didn't come to talk about this tonight, but somebody says, I had to sleep with him because he said he'd fire me. I'm telling you right now, if my wife came home and said, the reason I committed adultery against you is the boss said I'd have to sleep with him or he was going to fire me, I said, well, I'm going to tell her, you should have walked out the door after you punched him in the mouth. We've lost our mind. You're going to call everything abuse. You're going to call everything a sexual assault. And the fact of the matter is, that is the cancel culture of the world. You'll accept this perversion that is coming across the American landscape, or you can't get a job here. You will acknowledge the shade of the bramble bush or else. And the truth is, the messenger of truth is often not safe in the kingdom where the bramble bush is king. John Butler writes that truth is often in a perilous position in this world. When evil rules, Jotham's will be in peril, but Abimelech's will be popular. Jotham was a better person than Abimelech, but in his day, society would not protect Jotham. It was an ancient version of cancel culture. Yield or burn. Acquiesce or be destroyed. Follow our woke progressive agenda or we will burn you and your reputation to the ground. Now, even though the world may seem to follow through on such threats, I still choose to call these inaccurate promises. Because the child of God in the will of God will always be kept by the power of God for the glory of God. Centuries later, another wicked bramble bush king would set himself up a gold statue on the plain of Dura. And he would say, you're either going to come and you're going to bow, or I am going to burn you alive. And those three Hebrews stood like real cedars of Lebanon, and they said, hit me with your best shot, fire away. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go that secular and that far back. The inaccurate promises of the bramble. And this world system will tell you that if you will come and rest in the shade of secular ideology and progressivism, that you'll find a place of rest. And it will also tell you that if you don't, you will not come out of that transaction alive. And I stop by to tell you tonight that that is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. You don't have to bend. You don't have to bow. And bless the name of the Lord, you don't have to burn. The inaccurate promises by the bramble. The inferior purpose of the bramble. And then in verses 16 through 21, the inevitable problems with the bramble. For after preaching his little sermon about the trees, Pastor Jotham, if I could just ordain him for a few moments tonight, he heads into the invitation. And after the closing comments, he gives a scathing rebuke to this bramble bush king and to the crazy Shechemites who wish to rest in his supposed shade. Jotham stands at the top of Mount Gerizim as a prophet of God. And in the words of Dr. R. Kent Hughes, he writes, "It takes a lot of courage to be a lone voice crying foul and to stand out against the crowd, especially when that crowd has a strong and ruthless leader at their head." But as you listen to the close of this message, according to Pastor Jotham, what is the problem with all these trees of the field bowing down to the lordship of the bramble bush? There are two things, and I'm finished. First, when we bow down to the bramble bush leadership of the world, it forgets the Lord's deeds. Notice what he says in verse 16. Now, if you've dealt with this situation in truth and integrity by making Abimelech king, and if you've dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have dealt with him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of the Midianites, but you have risen against my father's house today and killed his sons, 70 men, on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, and you did it simply because he is your relative. Then he says, if you did rightly by doing that, I pray that you enjoy Abimelech, and I pray that Abimelech enjoys you. Now, by the way, for you skeptics who don't think there's ever a place for sarcasm in God's work, you would not have enjoyed this little Old Testament narrative from Brother Jotham. Can you see him there at the base of Mount Gerizim? His hair wet with sweat. Tears still filling his eyes from knowing that all of his brothers had been killed. Full of godly righteous indignation. Out of breath. And he says, let me tell you something. If y'all just did the right thing, I hope God blesses you. And I hope you enjoy your new bramble bush king. And I hope your bramble bush king enjoys his subjects. If what you did was right in light of everything God did for you, been good. I remind you that recently in our Sunday morning study of the book of Hebrews, we have seen that one remedy for drifting away from God is to remember the good things that Christ has done for you. And Jotham, out of respect for his daddy and with an eye, I believe, toward heaven, reminds this crowd that when they made Abimelech their king, they were thumbing their nose at the good work of his daddy, Gideon, and more importantly, they were thumbing their nose and turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to what the Lord God of Israel had done for them through the work of Gideon. Now, this isn't true of every one of them, but some of them were old enough to remember what it was like for 7 years that every time the harvest came in, here come the Midianites, and they would descend like an army of locusts. They'd leave no water in the well. They'd leave no grape in the vineyard. They'd leave no harvest in the field. There'll be no corn in the patch, no food in the pantry. And all they knew was oppression until God showed up in his mercy and snatched them up and delivered them by his own strong hand. And now suddenly they have forgotten all of that. But I got to be honest, before I get too hard on them, I have to look at the man in the mirror and confess the times of my own spiritual amnesia. For at times, as a daddy, I can get frustrated by my kids who seem to forget all the things that I've done for them. Don't you parents leave me up here by myself. Who seem to forget all the sacrifices made, the hours spent. Who don't seem to understand their mother and I putting our own life on hold for their good. But when I get upset with them, I have to look at the fact that far too often I forget about the good things my Heavenly Father has done for me. When we refuse to confess our sins before God, we must have forgotten, at least temporarily, what it caused for that forgiveness and confession to be made available to us. When we yield our bodies to sexual immorality, we apparently have forgotten the cry of our nail-scarred Redeemer, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And this cry from Jotham would say, if it's right for you to do what you've done in light of and in spite of everything the Father has done for you, then I hope you have a real good time. When we refuse to forgive those who have wronged us, we at least temporarily forget that one day on a hill called Calvary, the Son of God stretched out his arms and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And through his blessed apostle Paul said that you and I are to forgive one another in the same way that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Now, tonight we are looking for Jesus in Judges. Here he is, nestled in the thorny branches of this bramble bush, pleading by his Spirit for us to remember the cost of redemption. So before I bow my heart and bend my knee to the bramble bushes of this world, I pray that I can always say along with King David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." When they have installed Abimelech as king, it indicates they had forgotten the Lord's deeds. When you and I install bramble bush kings over our own lives, it shows we too have forgotten the good things that have come to us from the hand of God. It forgets the Lord's deeds. And finally, in conclusion, it forces the Lord's discipline. Verse 19, or rather verse 20. "But if not," in other words, if the way that you're living and the decisions that you have made are not the right decision, "let fire come out from Abimelech and consume all of you, and let fire come out from all of you and consume Abimelech." And then Jotham escaped and fled and went to Beer and remained there because of Abimelech, his brother. What they have done and the way that they have acted shows that they don't remember what God has done for them. And their sinful behavior brings about the chastening, disciplining judgment of God. For even with its temporary sweet and tasty fruit, what the Bible would call the pleasures of sin for a season, it is virtually impossible, even in the natural world, to enjoy the taste of a brambleberry without paying the price. And once again, that price is usually a handful of painful thorns. And here's the prophecy of Jotham, where this fable becomes a God-inspired prediction. He says, if you've done right by what you've done, I hope you all enjoy your life together. But if you've done wrong, I hope you experience the chastisement of God. That's love, by the way. Yes, it is. That I hope you experience the hand of God in such a powerful way that he does not let you get by with the decisions that you've made and the way that you're living. And by the end of the chapter, Abimelech is dead. As Barry Webb noted in his commentary, their behavior has been inexcusable, and they will pay a high price for it. And all of it, listen to me, beloved, I mean all of it, could have been avoided if they had merely been satisfied that they didn't need a vineyard to be their king. They didn't need a fig tree to be their king. They didn't need an olive tree to be their king, and they sure didn't need a bramble bush to be their king. They already had a king. They just would not acknowledge his lordship. Now, this unit of scripture tonight began in verse 7 with Jotham entering the scene and warning the people of Shechem about the high cost of low living. And having done his job, the narrative concludes with him exiting stage right in verse 21. But consider this in conclusion. Before the judgment of God fell on the men of Shechem and on their bramble bush king, there were 3 years of continued rebellion. But their lack of response to Jotham's warning was not his responsibility. He showed up on time. declared the word on time, exited on time, and left them with either the blessings of obedience or the consequences of living in the shade of the bramble.
You've been listening to The Emmanuel Pulpit, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Mike Stone, Senior Pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, Pastor Mike is committed to walking you verse by verse through books of the Bible. We pray this message has been an encouragement to you as you seek to learn and live the Word of God. Free audio downloads of this message, as well as general contact information, are available through our website at ebchurch.net. Thanks for joining us for today's message from the Emmanuel Pulpit.